This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is the weekly segment called A-State Connections and Create at State, Making Connections That Count. We start a series of interviews about the Arkansas Biosciences Institute and research that has been supported by ABI. Telling us more about ABI is the director of the Arkansas Biosciences Institute, Dr. Bobby McGee. He's also the dean at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences Graduate School and is a professor in the UAMS Department of Pediatrics. Dr. McGee tells about how ABI was formed statewide.
It's a fascinating story of how a state can come together to create something that is highly innovative, novel, and cutting edge. So ABI evolved out of the Arkansas Tobacco Settlement Commission. And the Arkansas Tobacco Settlement Commission, the ATSC, was established by the Arkansas Tobacco Settlement Agreement of 2000. And in the late 90s, there were several states that pooled resources and to combat the tobacco companies, the major tobacco companies. And that went on for several years, and I believe in 1999, an agreement called the Master Settlement Agreement was finally done between the, 37 states and the tobacco companies. And depending on population and level of smoking, et cetera, the states involved in that litigation receive money from the tobacco companies, and Arkansas, and these are round numbers, but Arkansas began receiving in 2000 roughly $55 million a year as part of the Master Settlement Agreement. Now, at the time, Mike Huckabee was our governor, and Mike Beebe, our former governor at that time, was the Senate pro tem. And there was as you might imagine, when a state gets an influx of a pool of money that large, everybody has different ideas of how to spend it. And so they came together and agreed to establish the Arkansas Tobacco Settlement Proceeds Act of 2000 and took it to the people. And the act is actually what established the Arkansas Tobacco Settlement Commission, and through that, the Arkansas Biosciences Institute is one of seven groups that were started as a result of the Proceeds Act in 2000. And I tell people in lay terms that the Arkansas Biosciences Institute is the research arm of the Tobacco Settlement Agreement. And we get we get 22.8% of the money that is distributed to the state annually. And that's what funds the Arkansas Biosciences Institute.
So tell us about the Arkansas Biosciences Institute. What is the overall mission of ABI?
So our overall mission, and there are the ABI's, I serve as the executive director, but there are five institutions that are part of it. All of this is outlined in the act, but it's the University of Arkansas Medical Sciences, Arkansas Children's Hospital Research Institute, Arkansas State University, University of Arkansas Fayetteville, and the system division for the University of Arkansas Division of Agriculture. And our mission is multifold, and it's also in the inside cover of every one of our annual reports. But the purpose is to conduct agricultural research with medical implications, bioengineering research that pushes the envelope of genetic knowledge, agricultural medical fields. Obviously, this was all done as a result of tobacco, so any tobacco-related research is part of our mission. Nutritional and other research is a component of it, as well as any areas of developing research that our member institutions feel like they need to be a part of or include in their strategic vision.
You're listening to Bobby McGee, and he is joining me here on the Created State podcast on KASU. You know, there's a lot of research that comes out of ABI that's featured at Created State. You know, we've featured several things here on the podcast that comes from ABI. Why do you think that Arkansas is such a prime research field for the mission of ABI? What is it about the state that makes it just kind of a wealth of an area to be able to do a lot of research?
Well, one of the things I think that has been a true game changer is the creation of the Tobacco Settlement Commission and what we did with the tobacco money. As I understand, we're the only state left that is using 100% of the money that we receive from the Master Settlement Agreement for things related to health and research. If you think about the other 37 states and then the additional states that settled, none of them are doing that. And so I think that's a stamp of approval when investigators are looking at places to relocate. The other thing that occurs with this, with the resources we receive through ABI, is that you can look at institutions' research portfolios, and those are usually defined by the amount of extramural grants, federal grants that they receive, whether those are from foundations like American Diabetes or American Heart Association or Department of Defense, the CDC, USDA, FDA, and or the National Institutes of Health. And the challenge is that you have to bring faculty in who can competitively compete for those awards. And when those awards are received, the money can only be used for the projects that were defined in the grant for which the award was received. Now, what's nice about the ABI is that that's a fair amount of resources that go to each of our five member institutions, and it allows investigators to use some of those resources to become more competitive for these extramural grants. So it's extremely rare. It's not unusual to have, you know, a few thousand dollars to do some side experiments with to try and generate preliminary data to get a new grant. But to be able to have levels of resources like this to allow our investigators to become very competitive is not unprecedented, but it's right up in that realm. It's really quite amazing. And our investigators have used these resources for a number of things in becoming more competitive for extramural grants. And in fact, we have brought in about $650 million in extramural grants since the creation of the Tobacco Settlement Commission and ABI. And our leverage factor is for every dollar we receive from the settlement, we're turning over about $4 in extramural grants. So it's a pretty good return on investment.
It really is. And another significant return on that is not just that the investigators / the faculty members of the universities are able to, you know, to work on this, but also there's that research component that pairs faculty and students. Some graduate students and even some undergraduate students get the opportunity to be able to do research in real world settings. And that's kind of what the Created State podcast features, are those faculty and students who are working together and learning from each other in those particular research settings that are done through ABI.
That's true. And A-State is sort of a gold standard on faculty and students working together with ABI resources. And many of the A-State investigators who utilize ABI funds engage high school and undergrad and graduate students. And that history goes back to the very start when Carol Kramer was originally recruited to Arkansas State. And, you know, she brought in several investigators, and they had a whole host of undergrad and graduate students, as well as postdocs. And then Dr. Maureen Dolan had a summer program, kind of like a CSI camp for high school students to get them interested in science. And they're learning cutting-edge techniques. And, I mean, Dr. Kramer is a remarkable scientist. She was able to patent and get FDA approval for the first ever plant-based pharmaceutical. And that was to treat glucocerebrosidase. And a genetic disorder, and it's really quite remarkable. And that project took obviously many years, involved a large number of students, undergrad and grad, as well as postdocs.
We're talking to the director of the Arkansas Biosciences Institute, Dr. Robert McGee, who also is a professor at UAMS Department of Pediatrics. He's also the dean of the UAMS Graduate School. He's been telling us about ABI in the state. And so one thing I wanted to ask you, Bobby, is the overall impact for Arkansas by way of ABI. How has it made a difference in the state of Arkansas since its inception?
When you begin thinking about how you move an entire state in a positive direction towards being a destination for things related to biomedical and biotech research, there's no silver bullet, but in fact, there's a whole array of silver bullets, and ABI has certainly been one of those. Directly, we've brought in, you know, almost $750 million worth of extramural funds, most of which may not have even come had we not had ABI resources to generate preliminary data to get these extramural grants awarded. But the other thing it's done is it has really allowed our institutions to become powerhouse research institutions by bringing in new faculty. And having access to resources like this is very attractive to external faculty and recruiting faculty. It has changed if you were to look at what the graduate student population might have been and the undergraduate population going into graduate school and biomedical type research, agricultural research, it is much more prevalent today than it would have been almost 20 years ago. So the impact has been remarkable. We did a economic impact study, I believe, 2 years ago, and what the ABI has done or did about 20 years ago is comparable to a new large, maybe not large, but there's some category, medium-sized industry that was brought to the state and has consistently led to the employment of over 300 people for over 20 years. So if you look at how that is spread across the state, it has a huge impact.
And I would imagine, Dr. McGee, that with this kind of research that you're doing, you're probably having to report to the legislature. I imagine the legislative session is something that you always kind of, keep lawmakers up to date with what's going on, since it is money that's coming into the state. Kind of your thoughts on that, because I know there may be some lawmakers who are kind of take a look at that money and say, well, we can use it for some of the projects that we have. Kind of your thoughts on that and how you keep the ABI on the map to be able to make sure that you're getting the funding that you need to continue the mission of ABI, if that makes sense.
So a big part of this job is making sure that the legislature is aware of what we're doing. We put out an annual report every year, and every legislator gets a copy of that, as well as the governor. That is a requirement that we have to do. We sort of report via this report to the governor annually, and then on at a committee level, we report quarterly to the Public Health and Welfare Committee of the Joint Committee for the Arkansas Legislature, and we are at those quarterly. And one of the things that one of our big charges is really to make legislators aware of what it is that we're doing with these resources. It would take the legislature, it would take action by the legislature to change the act, but if we're not good stewards of these resources, that could happen pretty easily. So we are constantly alerting making our legislators aware of what it is that we're doing, and inviting them to our campuses and making sure they're aware and proud of what was done 20 years ago with this act and what we've done with it since. It's a great relationship. I've been the executive director, I believe, for 13 years, and not once, I mean, out of all these committees that I've gone to, our annual reports, not once has there been any negativity associated with ABI or we should be doing more, or, you know, they're always very interested in learning what some of the things we're doing are, but our interactions have always been exceptionally positive. We want to keep it that way.
And that's Dr. Bobby McGee, the director of the Arkansas Biosciences Institute. Next, we turn to Arkansas State University. As you know, an ABI building is on the Arkansas State University campus in Jonesboro. And on Wednesday, September 15th, that building turned 15 years. Telling us more about this is Dr. Tom Risch, who is a Vice Provost for Research and Technology Transfer at A-State and Executive Director of the Arkansas Biosciences Institute. We were talking with Bobby about the ABI and the importance of the Arkansas Biosciences Institute across the state of Arkansas. I want to get your thoughts on ABI's importance to Arkansas State University. Tell us about that. When did ABI start at Arkansas State, and kind of give us an update on that, if you don't mind.
Sure. So ABI, as Bobby explained, is the statewide consortium that we're part of, and it started around 2002. But here on our campus, we were part of that consortium, and we also have the building, the ABI facility. And a lot of people have trouble teasing the two apart. The building was put up in 2004. At the time, it was very state-of-the-art in terms of the labs and how they were equipped. And we've been doing our best to keep them state-of-the-art with equipment purchases from the ABI funds each year.
Right. Tell us about the different kind of research that takes place at ABI. I know we featured some of it throughout the Created State podcast, and we'll continue to do that. But kind of tell us a bit about what goes on there.
Yeah, so the ABI facility is the only standalone research building on campus. So as a result, it has several users. We have people from departments of chemistry and physics and biological sciences in the College of Science and Mathematics. We have people from all aspects of engineering and computer science that are in the facility. And we have faculty from the Department of the College of Agriculture. In addition to that, we have some guests. That includes the USDA ARS, which is the Agricultural Resources Services, and they do water and climate change research here in the Delta. And then we have our faculty from the DO school, NYIT, that are housed there. We have five faculty that have labs in the building. So if you put that all together, there's a diverse degree of research that goes on, from plant biotech and agriculture to engineering questioning, surface engineering and things like that, artificial intelligence, and then a lot of medical-based research from pain management to cancer development and cell biology that relates to cancer. And we also have people that are in drug development that are looking at novel compounds for the treatment of bacteria and cancer agents.
What is the impact of having the ABI building here at Arkansas State University? You were talking about a lot of the different research projects, but how does it benefit the region and how does it benefit the university?
Well, it's a fantastic place for students. We have a lot of internship opportunities that ABI funds. So in addition to researchers that might have grant money to fund students to work on their research, ABI will have programs where they'll come through in a cohort. They'll all present their research. And so we're creating this pipeline of research scientists. At this point, you know, 15 years after the building was built, we have our alumni all over the country in top-notch research institutes. We've really become a major supplier for St. Jude with our students. ending up there after they're here. And then we have doctors throughout the region and dentists throughout the region, all that as undergraduates got involved with research in ABI. So the value of the facility can't be understated as how it impacts students and students' learning. Another really nice thing about it is recruiting faculty. So if you have faculty that need those kinds of resources or the kind of equipment and instrumentation that we have in the building, we have a leg up on institutions our size, you know, even similar placed R2 institutions in terms of researchers wanting to come here because they know that they'll have this very well-equipped facility to conduct their research, that they won't be looking for certain pieces of equipment because it's all under one roof. So that's a tremendous benefit. We're also at the point where we have a small business incubator inside the ABI called Catalyst. And Catalyst is now getting pretty close to full occupancy. We've rented out all of our offices, and we have some lab space that's vacant, but that too is starting to fill up. And what this vision for Catalyst is to help these startups get going by providing them the space that's tied to our research facilities so they have the ability to pay for all this equipment use rather than having to buy millions of dollars of equipment right off the bat. And the vision is for these industries to set up here locally. And then we'll have this complete pipeline from freshmen coming in, getting their training through professors producing new technologies and new products that can now hire our students when they graduate as Catalyst spins out these industries into the region.
So super exciting developments that are taking place.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it, and a lot of people that are involved of it are. I think as the word gets out, more and more people are getting excited. I, you know, with your podcast and with some of the things that we've been doing with university communications, we're starting to get our story out and defining our story. When you have a facility like that pop up on a campus, a lot of strange rumors can start up, and the truth is much more interesting than the rumors in terms of the science and the technology that's coming out.
Well, and that's what we're doing is by telling about the different research projects. And so going back to what we heard recently, and we're going to be telling people about some of the different research projects that took place over the summer. The summer is a busy time. Now, people may think that, you know, you have the fall and the spring in that, but you have research projects going on at ABI all year round, don't you?
Yeah, we do. In fact, the summer is in some ways the busiest. We had a group of 15 interns over the summer, one of our largest groups ever. We also had an internship in the spring for high school students with the Brooklyn School District that we called Bear Techs and Biotech that was super successful. And at least one of those students stayed and worked throughout the summer in the building. So it's been really neat. And when you think about these younger scientists coming in, if they be in high school or they're freshmen in college, and you think that the level of research experience that they're getting so early along in their career training, the chances of them becoming research scientists compared to the average college student across the nation just skyrockets. I'm convinced that these students that got involved with our high school internships are going to go on and be research scientists.
And I would imagine that as you try to recruit more high school students and others, ABI is just a perfect tool there that could be used in recruiting.
It's one of my favorite parts of the whole mission. So we have a director of outreach, Shay Harris, who just does an incredible job. We're so thankful for Shay and the work that he does. And Shay has been really enthusiastic about increasing the impact of ABI. So last year, we had about 100% increase in the number of K-12 students that came through the building. And the total there was over 1,300 students that stepped foot into ABI, either as part of a small group, a large class group, busloads of students. There's some days when I'll walk out in the lobby and there'll be 150 fourth graders there, you know, and Shay's got it all planned out for them, hands-on activities, and really gives them a first look at what science, doing science, not just studying science, is all about.
That sounds fantastic, and that's part of the mission, obviously.
It's a very important part of the mission, and one that's particularly dear for me. I know that the ABI over the years has impacted the lives of so many students that have come through Arkansas State University, many, many of them right here from our local Delta region. Without those experiences, they just wouldn't have the ability to do this hands-on science so early in their career.
And then, you know, obviously the way that the research projects impact the communities that our listeners are in, and now even listeners who may not be in Arkansas through the different platforms like Spotify that we're on now, and that you can only imagine just what the impact is of all of the research projects that you all are doing, and how it's going to impact people as a result of those research projects.
That's right. Now, so a great example of one such project is Dr. Argelio Lawrence is doing some research on rice. And what they're doing is looking at climate change and how it affects the quality of rice. So the biggest impact at our latitudes of climate change is increasing nighttime temperatures. And this has a negative effect on the quality of rice. It becomes what we call chalkier. It breaks real easy. So what that group is doing now is using some in-the-field tents that allow them to help heat up the crops experimentally. So now we're able to test different strains, see which strains and what it is about those strains that allow them to thrive in those conditions. We have what's called a high throughput phenotyper at ABI. It's called the Scanalyzer. It's got a cool name. And it's got multiple cameras in it. And what it does is it collects data on the rice. You can get data on how it deals with stress, how photosynthetically active it is, and all sorts of morphometrics, size, number of stems, leaf surface, et cetera, et cetera. And from that, you can connect those characters to the genetics. So now you're in a position where you know which strains do the best in the changing climate conditions, what characteristics, specifically which genes code for those characteristics, and how we can breed them to produce the crops of the future. So not only will our local farmers be able to be growing those crops of the future, be able to adapt to the increased nighttime temperatures and still have high quality rice, but we'll be helping feed the world in the future. And it's the kind of work you can be really proud of.
Fantastic. That's great. Well, we appreciate you so much for coming in and talking about ABI locally at Arkansas State. And this is part of a great consortium that you all have. You're part of the statewide network, I guess, if you will, if you want to put it that way. How do you all work with your partners there across the state of Arkansas?
Well, this gives us the ability to have a lot of grassroots connections between researchers. So with our other partners in the states, we have these annual meetings. We'll have speakers from each campus, and probably even more fun, we'll have multiple posters by students from each campus that will also help represent their mentors' work by presenting these posters. And everybody is together considering the science, listening to the science, visiting posters, drilling students on the science, and this brings the new connections together for collaborations that probably would have never happened if it wasn't part of the ABI consortium.
And in this episode, you've heard from Dr. Tom Risch, and we also started the interviews with Dr. Bobby McGee. And don't forget, you can listen to the Created State podcast now on Spotify. Just type in Making Connections That Count in the search bar, and it'll pop right up. You can subscribe. You can follow. Also available on TuneIn, Overcast, and also the traditional platforms on iTunes or Google Play. You can listen to us on the NPR app. But just tell others about the Created State podcast. Share with a friend. Leave us a review. We would love to hear from you. You are listening to A-State Connections and the Created State podcast on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves.